We are excited. Joining us again this month is Pam Perry. She is a retired non-game wildlife biologist from the Brainerd Lakes area. And she's here to talk about so many things going on in your yard and different places to go. Where do we even start, Pam?
Oh, where do we start? I want to start with the Rice Lake phenology trip.
Oh, that was terrible.
That was on May 4th. yeah, John.
Did you say it was terrible, John?
I said it was terrible. It was rainy, and there were only 60 different species of birds. It was just a terrible day in the woods.
we wanted to do something a little different with our bird club, and Ron Plinsky from the Baxter area had the idea of, let's ask John if he will do a phenology walk for us. And we set this up a few months ago, and then, you know, we kept watching the weather, and it was like going to be a little rainy in the morning. I thought, oh, I wonder how many people will show up. And for people who aren't familiar, Rice Lake National Wildlife Refuge is near McGregor in Aiken County. It's a fabulous area, and I've been there many times. But so we get there, and yes, it's a little light rain and all that. And of course, John was early, and I was early, because I'm always early. And then cars started coming in. I think we had 30 people or more, John. I didn't count.
I didn't either, but there had to be at least 30.
And they came from all over.
I know.
All over the KXE listening area. And I was just amazed. And we hiked out and stopped and looked at stuff. Mark Jacobs was there, who was wonderful and was talking about history and different things. And there was also, I think his name was Greg from the Friends group.
Yes.
Friends of the Wildlife Refuge.
Yes.
And talked about some of the things the refuge was doing. But, oh, man, it was fun. And for people who are going, oh, darn, I missed it. Well, we're already set to do it again next year. Right, John?
Yes, we are. Yeah. Ron sent me a note, the date, and I said, I've put it in my calendar, so I will be there.
People were already saying, we got to do this again next year. So it'll be the first Saturday in May next year. And, of course, we just meet there, and it's free, and you don't have to sign up or do anything. And bring your cameras and your binoculars and a picnic. We're asking people that for next year to bring a picnic lunch.
Oh, good idea. Yeah.
We got so involved in doing stuff, and there's no close place to get lunch that we said, oh, let's tell everyone, bring a picnic lunch and we'll just snack as we go.
That's where
I wanted to start. That was the beginning of May.
And I think it goes, it deserves some comment from you, perhaps. Some of the folks there, I think Kevin Gaiman ran into a loggerhead shrike, which is, for me, a first. First of all, if I had seen it, I would have said, oh, look, it's a northern shrike.
It's a northern shrike, but it was May.
Yeah.
And the northern shrikes head north.
Yep.
I usually think of April as the transition time. And the birder people on that group got pretty excited. I was in the car that was one of the last of the group that going along. And one of the people in the car says, oh, look, a shrike. And I looked at it and said, that's not a northern shrike. So we got lots of photos and all that. And yes, it was a loggerhead, which is rare in the north country.
Yeah, absolutely. It wouldn't have occurred to me.
But Kevin was there. He's one of your former student phenologists.
Yeah.
And so was Ben.
Ben was there as well. Yep. Yeah, both of those gentlemen. It was fun to reacquaint myself with both of them. And to hear their stories of what's happened in their lives, and to meet in Kevin's case, to meet his lovely wife, and it was just a real, the whole experience was wonderful.
I think it's interesting, and keep in mind when we listen to these phenology reports that some of these kids And we don't know which ones or how many, but they're going to be sparked by this.
Yes.
And enjoy the outdoors more, or something will really catch their interest, whether it's plants or birds or frogs or whatever. like these two guys, you know, they just love the outdoors and they wanted to see you, John. So that's why they showed up.
Well, you know, I've got a fifth grader over in Cohasset right now, and his name is Dustin. And I just, every time I see him, I just grin because he just so much reminds me of me as a fifth grader. Oh. He is just, I remember, I think I mentioned, I don't know if it was you, but I told the kids, you know, we were listening to the boreal chorus frogs, and I said, I'll give you $1 if you could catch one of those. And did I say this to you, Pam?
I think you told the group.
Somebody in the group, or somebody told me, you could have offered him $100. Oh, it was Sue Eggert, DNR entomologist, and she knows about how difficult it is to find the boreal chorus frogs. They call and call and call and call, and I don't think I've ever seen one just wandering around, you know, like you occasionally run into frogs. Those guys...
I have seen them, and I've seen peepers, but it's rare.
Yeah.
And it's usually when they're emerging from the ponds.
Oh,
and
sure.
Some of them will kind of go cross country a little bit, or they're out and about. But trying to catch them in the ponds, they're so loud and they're so tiny.
Yeah.
And it's very, very difficult.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I didn't want to drag us too far afield right away, but speaking of frogs, we have, so last night I had peepers and boreal chorus frogs. I'm not hearing any more wood frogs. They're, I think, done. I haven't heard any of the lake frogs because I'm too far from the lake and my ears are too old. So I'm not hearing the leopard frogs, which I expect are probably calling.
I've heard leopard frogs.
And what about tree frogs?
I have heard tree frogs too.
Okay.
And when we were at the Arboretum Saturday, there was a mother that came in with a couple of boys, and he came running over to us with a container. Look what I caught. And it was a great tree frog.
Oh, cool.
So he was so excited. I thought, oh, this is great.
Those moments.
And that's the beauty of frogs and toads and turtles and all that, is that you can catch them.
Yes.
You can't catch birds easily or anything like that. So, you know, do all that. So, but just one more note on toads, and then I want to talk about your experience with the yellow-throated vireo.
Oh, good.
But a friend of mine in Cross Lake was trying to use Merlin, and she said the toads were so loud, Merlin couldn't pick up any of the birds. And that's what toads do. When they all get going, it's deafening. So people who live on the lakes or on ponds or have different areas, like they'll know what I'm talking about with the toads going. But John, I just think it was great. You listen, Merlin isn't 100% correct.
Yep.
It's good, but it's not 100%. And the fact that you tracked down that yellow-throated vireo, I'm quite impressed, and that you saw it. And they're beautiful birds.
Oh, they're gorgeous. I had no idea. I mean, if you would have told me a week ago or a month ago that I should listen for the yellow-throated vireo, I would be like, what? Is there one? You know?
Yes.
And
see, I have them at my house regular. So I'm very familiar with yellow-throated vireos. And end of the summer, they'll come into my bird bath.
Ah, learning their song is going to change everything for me, because they are fairly loud. I wouldn't put them in the, I wouldn't put them with the cardinal or the Carolina wren, but, or the oven bird, those singular loud, you know, can't miss it. Like, whoa, what bird is that? But loud enough. Like when I heard it, I was like, oh, what bird is that? I haven't heard that.
And it's distinctive. And I think what the bird says, and you'll have to check this out. You know how that you have mnemonics.
Oh, absolutely.
Like the oven bird says, teacher, 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 teacher.
Right.
Okay, well, to me, the yellow-throated vireo says V8 for you.
Ah! V8
for you.
Yes!
And there's kind of like this rougher sound at the beginning, and they're slower than a red-eyed vireo.
Yep.
Every time I hear one, I go, oh, yeah, V8.
I know. Perfect.
So, you know, we've got warblers, vireos, thrashers, catbirds, orioles, hummingbirds, everything has come in.
Yeah.
It's just fabulous. I mean, this time of year, I'm working out in my yard, my gardens. I'm spending the whole time listening to everything. Great crested flycatchers.
Oh, yeah.
I have those as well, and they're loud. And, it's a wonderful time of year. And so I do want to move on to and talk about my barred owls.
Oh, yes.
Because I every year I hear barred owls. That's the most common owl here. Oh, and I did hear earlier that someone called in and they had a great gray owl.
Yes. And she had a picture.
Another Pam.
Yeah.
Wilkening. Was reporting a great gray.
Up in the Big
wonderful.
Fork area. Yeah. And I saw the picture and right away, you know, it's got those big white lines under the eyes. And
it
was obvious in the photo that it was a great gray owl. It was just amazing.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. And those are spectacular and very, very rare down here in Brainerd. What we do have is the barred owl, which is a brownish, medium-sized owl with dark eyes.
Yes.
And I think most of our listeners have seen them. They've certainly heard them because they're also very loud. And every year I hear them. But this year I'm hearing them every day, and I'm seeing them almost every day.
Hmm.
They are just right outside my back. And I'm sure they're nesting in one of the aspens in my backwoods.
Are they cavity nesters, or do they build a nest or steal a nest?
They're cavity nesters.
Cavity. Wow.
Yes, they're cavity nesters, unlike great horned owls or even great grays, which have open nests. The barred owl is a cavity nester. You can put up boxes for them. The DNR has plans. And, you know, of course, it's fairly big. It's kind of like a wood duck box, you know, about that size. I was in my backyard yesterday, and all of a sudden I hear it. Who cooks for you? Who cooks for you? And I look up, and there he is sitting up in the tree. And I'm going, oh, he's watching me.
Mm.
You know, and I often hear two of them now, too. They do what's called a duet.
Yes.
Going back and forth. And so I need to go do a little tromping through the brush and look at my trees in the back and see if I can find the cavity where they're nesting.
Oh, that would be fun.
And I just think it's great. I think it's fun. And, you know, they commonly call in the daytime, but of course then they also call a lot at night.
Yeah. And the call is distinctive. It's that
distinctive.
Who cooks for you? Yeah.
Who cooks for you?
And
when I lived in Florida, the barred owls said, "Who cooks for y'all?" Honestly, they do have different calls and accents, just like people do.
I've heard that too. Yeah. Yes, I haven't heard the barred owl down south, but I do know that that birds of different areas have different vocalizations.
They're similar,
but not exactly the same.
So that's fun. And just a couple notes on, you were talking about a lot of plants, and my Juneberry is flowering.
Good.
Yes. The crab apples in Brainerd are in full bloom. And, you know, many of those are thanks to the Brainerd Garden Club, because 20 some years ago or so, they were giving away crab apple trees. They wanted to beautify Brainerd.
Sure.
And they're doing it again this year. Maybe it was longer than that. 30. Somebody will know. But they're doing it again this year, as they're going, now it's time to replace some of those crab apples and all that. So the flowers are beautiful. The greens, John, you talked about the chartreuse green.
Mm-hmm.
I love green. And in the spring, that bright yellow green. Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember the title of a book that Harry recommended that I read. Harry and Sue Hutchins recommended that I read this book, and it was about something about the title was something about the something my inner fish or something like that. Anyway, at some point they discussed the fact that human eyes have evolved to be very, very sensitive to the numerous shades of green. And this time of year, I mean, you look outside and there are a thousand hues of green that are, you know, they're all green, but they're not all the same. And
they're very different. And I just feel like in the spring, it's like I'm soaking it up.
Yeah.
And I have read too about how green is a very calming color for people. It's something certainly that for us being outdoors, we have evolved to be very in tune with.
Yeah. Well, his theory was that our primitive ancestors had to recognize which trees had the right fruits. And by looking at trees and studying the greens, they would be like, that one, it's that one over there that has that shade of green as opposed to those over there that have a different shade. So,
yeah. And being able to pick them out.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of fun. Pam, it's always a pleasure. I look forward to our hike next year. I hope that you and I hope we cross paths well before that.
And I hope so too. Maybe down in Piers.
I'm actually going to be in Piers on Thursday.
Yes,
morning.
And I'm going to be off camping. Otherwise,
good for you.
For me, it's the season to be out, so yeah. I'm going out.
All right, get out and enjoy. Thanks for joining us this morning. Lovely to chat.
You're welcome. It's been fun.
Thanks, Pam.